Good morning. Welcome to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. This is our live call-in show where listeners can call in and weigh in on the topic of the week. We've got a big show planned for today, and I'm going to start off with a couple of announcements. Wanted to remind everyone that April is National Poetry Month. Celebrate by listening to two poetry features on Monday, April 27, and Tuesday, April 28, at 9:30 a.m. Barbara Hansel and Jim Dott produced 30 short poem-a-day slots to air each day this month. However, due to COVID-19, programming changes, airing them in that short format was not possible. Instead, they've compiled those 30 poems into these two half-hour shows. We do hope you enjoy them. Again, that's Monday, April 27, and Tuesday, April 28, at 9:30 a.m., right here on 91.9 FM and coastradio.org. Poems are read by Jim Dott, Liam Dunn, Emily Geddes, Barbara Hansel, Marianne Monson, Dylan Hauser-Schalk. Poems are well-known favorites like Mary Oliver. Sorry, poets are well-known favorites like Mary Oliver, Lucille Clifton, Rumi, Edward Lear, and Shakespeare, as well as contemporary poets Clem Stark, Natalie Diaz, Sherman Alexie, and Jericho Brown. They cover a wide range of topics, including love, war, parenthood, daffodils, salmon, children, joy, and death. So tune in for our Poetry Month specials next week, Monday and Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. Welcome to The Conversation. We're going to start off like we have been for the last few weeks with a check-in with Astoria Mayor Bruce Jones, and then we're going to cover a couple of updates relating to the station and how our progress is going with our spring quiet drive and continuing to celebrate the 37th birthday of the station. And then I want to dig into a little bit more of the old COVID-19 topic today, thinking about mental health. What are the mental health impacts of COVID-19? What have you experienced? What have you done to make your way through this fill-in-the-blank time? The number's 503-325-0010. We've got Bruce on the line and another caller on deck. We've got one open line, and we don't have a phone person today, so I'm juggling today. So bear with me and call me back if we accidentally drop your number. Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Graham.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks. Well, the big news over the past week was the governor's announcement of her reopening framework for the state of Oregon. So that is a structure that helps us understand exactly how different types of businesses will be reopened in a phased fashion, depending on the type of business and the amount of physical distancing that can be accommodated in those businesses and when those moves might start. And some key parts of the reopening framework are that it's based on what are called gating criteria, and the gates that have to be met are that there's declining numbers of symptoms, declining numbers of cases, and hospital capacity is adequate. And then there's preparedness issues within each county. Is there robust testing and contact tracing capacity? Are there adequate amounts of PPE at the hospitals and surge capacity? And then there's three phases of lifting of restrictions. And so in phase one, which we don't know when phase one is going to start. The latest projections I saw is that it could start after the week of the 25th to the 29th of May, so basically at the end of May. And after phase one, there'd be a 14-day period where they would monitor for continued downward trajectories in symptoms and cases, and if everything looks good after 14 days, they'd move to phase two, another minimum 14-day period of monitoring, and if everything looks good, they'd move to phase three. And at each phase, different types of businesses and organizations would be allowed to reopen with limitations. And those limitations are being developed right now by committees, advisory committees in each major area. For instance, there's a food service and restaurant advisory committee looking at that. There's a personal services advisory committee looking at protocols for reopening personal services businesses, and that would include hair salons, massage organizations, and tattoo parlors, for example, where there's close physical contact. contact. So you can find that framework. You can go to my Mayor Bruce Jones Facebook page. You can go to OregonLive.com. There's a number of places where you can find that framework spelled out. And one thing I'll point out, you know, throughout that framework, it calls for continued monitoring, and there's always the chance that we would go from a loosened reopening framework back to a tighter closure framework again. And so that just tells us, you know, we need to remain diligent throughout this. Even when things start to reopen, we need to continue to practice physical distancing, to wash, to wear masks, so that we can go forward instead of going backward. Another topic locally, the farmers market. There was a small farmers market last Sunday on an experimental basis. That was after a consultation with the Clatsop County Public Health Department, who developed a list of requirements to meet Oregon Health Authority requirements for farmers markets. So there were six booths at Heritage Square last Sunday from 10 to 2. I went there myself twice to monitor compliance with the Health Department's requirements, and I was pretty pleased with what I saw. All the vendors had masks on, there were cleaning stations, there were cones to mark off physical distancing, and people were purchasing their produce and leaving. They weren't socializing, so they're gonna do that again this weekend. I think that's from 10 to 2 again at Heritage Square. And again, we'll be monitoring that to make sure it remains compliant with Health Department requirements. Next Thursday at 5:30 p.m., there will be a business owners forum. I am doing that jointly with my colleague Henry Balancy for Mayor of Warrenton, and the Small Business Development Center, and the Chamber of Commerce. So the four of us will be on the panel, and there will be a question and answer period for any business owners or members and management of organizations like nonprofits that have questions. So we'll be there to answer questions for folks wondering what's going on in the community with regard to the reopening or any other aspect of the COVID-19 response. There'll be a Zoom call, and information will be coming out from SBDC next week on how to dial into that Zoom session. So again, the Business Owners Forum next Thursday, 5:30 to 7 p.m. I've met recently along with the mayors from throughout Clatsop County. So that's Mayor Stidell from Cannon Beach, Mayor Barber from Seaside, Mayor Brown from Gearhart, Mayor Balancifer from Warrenton, and myself. We met virtually to talk about a unified approach to reopening, and you know, we're all committed to working together as a team, not to each go off in a different direction. It's very important for safety that we don't have one city going in one direction and another city doing something else. We've got to be consistent throughout the county, and we'll continue working with the county to have unity of effort in the COVID-19 response. And finally, you may have seen in the news that the governor is lifting restrictions on non-emergency medical procedures. That is really significant because for over a month now, the hospital has had they've had to lay people off. They've had basically virtually no one in the hospital that's non-emergency. And meanwhile, people's procedures are stacking up. It's going to create quite a problem in the future when you have so many people needing medical care. So given the lack of any COVID-19 surge in our hospitals right now, we'll be able to start doing non-emergency procedures and clearing some of that backlog. So that'll be great for the community. So that's my brief update, and I'm happy to answer any questions, Graham.
Well, I am not prepared with questions for you, but I will keep a tally as folks send stuff to me. I just value the updates that you bring. So thank you so much, Bruce.
All right, you're very welcome.
Have a great day.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bruce Jones. So moving on, a couple things to cover here. By the way, the theme song you heard was Is There Anybody Out There by Pink Floyd. Want to thank the public servants, like Bruce, like our city councilors. I happen to know one personally. They're doing a fine job. They're working incredibly hard, and they're all doing their best. And so this is a time to come together and be supportive and work towards solutions collaboratively. And I hope that we can value them and trust that they have our backs and, like I said, work together. I want to celebrate KMUN's 37th birthday. We did kind of pick things back up with our spring pledge drive. We had to pause it, the live drive, in the middle of March, and we were about $45,000 short of our goal. And so I have great news for you. The support has been coming in. It's been overwhelming, and some of the notes and letters that we've been receiving have been fantastic. So thank you, thank you, thank you to our challenge grantors and to everyone who's managed to send in some support. We're currently at almost $49,000 on our way to a $67,000 goal. And so when we paused the drive, we were short by $45,000, and now we only have $18,000 remaining to reach our goal. And so we're going to keep plugging away and asking for your support until we reach that goal. Hopefully it'll happen sooner than later. And again, as always, give what you can, give what you're comfortable with. And if you can't give, just keep listening. And we'll be here and ready for your support when you can. So thanks to everyone who's been supporting the Spring Pledge Drive despite the crazy circumstances. One thing I want to touch on as well is that KMUN has always prided itself on its election coverage. And this is something that is volunteer operated, like much of our broadcast. And so our production studios are still currently closed to our volunteers and to the public. But we are working on efforts to collaborate with the AAUW, who normally holds candidate forums, and some of our volunteer news department to see if we can't put together some election coverage for you. So stay tuned for that. And you can always send me an email if that's something that you're interested in help collaborating on. Graham@coastradio.org. Okay, let's move on. COVID-19, what's the deal? What are the mental health impacts of this? 503-325-0010. We've got three open lines. I think I accidentally dropped a caller. And so if you want to call us back, we'll get you on the air. 503-325-0010 is the number. And as always, we can digress. We can talk about other stuff besides COVID-19. It might be a welcome change, right? You got a good joke for us? Give me a call, 503-325-0010. Three open lines. You know what that means.
Is there anybody out there?
That's what I'm wondering. Is there anybody out there? 503-325-0010. Check in. Let us know how you're doing. One thing I'd like to hear about is what has some of the programming been that you've appreciated lately. Have you heard one of our programmers that recorded a homegrown recording on the air? Okay, now we're getting some phone calls. Hello, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi. I'm calling because I am concerned that everything that is shut down is forcing us to all stop shopping local and go to the big box stores.
That is a very valid concern.
Yes, I would like to go to Gymrie's and buy shoes because it's time. I don't want to go to the box stores and make my purchases. We don't have any COVID here, and it seems like there's a way we could work to have practice social distancing and use our small little businesses before they go under.
Well, since you brought up Gymrie's, they are doing online shoe sales. I think they've been doing stuff.
I don't do them. Well, I'm darling.
Maybe
I don't
have
do
a
the
friend.
Internet.
Maybe you've got a friend who can help you out because they are doing everything they can to get their products to you. But I think that's a great point. You know, what can you look up on Amazon and find out where a local retailer is and purchase it from them instead?
I don't do the internet. So I can't. The library is closed, and that's where I would be using an internet at.
Right. Well, I wish you the best, and I hope that things open up soon.
Okay. And in springtime, we need to all enjoy it.
Absolutely. Spring is not canceled.
No, it isn't.
Thank you for the call.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. Next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Is this me?
This is you.
Okay. It's Susanna. I'm not as affected by other people because I have a farm, and my life hasn't changed that much, but I've often had as much anxiety over climate change, and our part of the world is so beautiful. I've just the idea that it all going down the tubes is what really concerns me, and I see in COVID-19 that we have a whole new way of being in our world that has affected the air. And I hope that people remember that when they finally go, yes, we need to also change something really seriously to change our carbon footprint and also protect our trees and plant trees and improve soils and all that stuff. That we know there's another way of being than in our capitalistic society.
Well said.
And that's my comment. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Okay, 503-325-0010. I find myself again with three open lines and reminding you that I'm handling the phone switching myself. It's an experiment. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. So hopefully I don't drop anybody, but if I do, call us back. And in the meantime, I'd like to know.
Is there anybody out there?
503-325-0010. That is not going to get old. Okay, I had one other thing planned for today while we're waiting for some more phone calls to come in with how you're handling COVID-19, what you've experienced as far as the mental health impacts. Have you had good days and bad? Happy to hear what your experiences have been. And we've got a caller. Hi, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I'd like to say we need to notify our legislatures that this lockdown needs to stop because the curve only slows the virus down. We need to let it happen and get herd immunity because right now our economy is trashed, and I can't believe that we can just go back to normal. So we need to start right now and get things going again. Thank you.
Thank you. And next caller, I think I saw Chris's name on the caller ID.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Let me just turn my radio off. Just two quick things. One, I disagree with the last caller. I don't think we should rush to open things up just for the sake of opening them. I know the economy is very important, and it's affecting a lot of people in a lot of very stressful ways to have our economy so locked down. But in the end, we'll get through this a lot quicker if we just are patient and do it right in opening things back up, more or less the way the mayor described earlier in your show. But the other thing I wanted to comment on, the first caller, I think, was concerned that there's only big box stores open to make purchases at. And actually, I haven't been out shopping and running around town a lot, but I'm well aware that our local co-op grocery store is open, and they're extremely careful there in how they have the customers enter the store and the cleanliness of the store. So that's a very good choice for shopping for groceries. It's a very local store. And they also have some other products. I haven't looked, but I see some gardening stuff out front. I'm curious what that is and probably will check that out. And then another local option that kind of overrides places like Home Depot and some other places is our local building supply store, City Lumber, which I haven't been into in weeks, but I see that it is open because it's located close to the co-op there. So those are two good options of local stores, and between the two of them, they offer a lot of products that maybe this person would rather buy them there rather than Walmart or Costco or someplace. Anyway, that's my comment, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for the call, Chris. I think maybe part of that point is once we emerge from this, maybe we'll make a bigger effort to shop local even post-pandemic. It might be a little bit hard now, but it might be teaching us a lesson that it's always the best case scenario to support your local business, even if it costs a little bit more. Support brick and mortar. I have heard that the co-op is taking some of the best precautions to keep their employees and their customers safe, so I applaud them for that. And I also noticed that Deals Only is open downtown. That's kind of an everyday store. And personally, I cannot imagine Astoria without Deals Only. So that's a good store to support. And that's just my opinion. We've got another caller coming in. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Graham. This is Lexi down in Seaside. I just wanted to give you guys some ideas for mental health wellness during this time.
Great.
I found myself about a week or two going into it and feeling like I was getting a little bit despondent. So I realized I needed to connect back to all the things that keep me feeling balanced. And so one of the things I realized was, you know, it's a sensation to watch the news because it's a new virus and everyone's so concerned about it. So I found myself doing something I normally don't do, which was watching the news too many hours a day. So one of the steps I've taken for my mental health is to really limit and restrict how much news I'm taking in, still staying informed, mostly through the radio programs, but also just being very aware of how news affects your mental health. The second thing I'm doing every single day, I go out and spend at least a couple hours in nature, riding my bike, being in my backyard, planting, doing whatever makes me feel more balanced. The third thing that's really helped me as I'm a yoga teacher is my meditation practice has really helped me keep a sense of focus and balance. And then the last thing is moving my body every day, you know, getting some exercise, allowing yourself to feel that heartbeat and feel, invigorated by your exercise. So that's what I'm doing. I just wanted to put that out there. I haven't been able to teach at my yoga studio for some time, and so I wanted to reach out to some of my students who are probably listening to your program and let them know, stay with your practices. And then I wanted to say that that $1,200 that we're all supposed to be getting, I haven't been able to pay my business donation yet, but when I get my $1,200, I'm going to send $100 to KMUN, and I challenge all small businesses out there to do the same. You guys are doing a great job, and stick with it, and we're listening to you every day.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you. And I want to say that it's almost like your recommendations were tailored specifically to me, because that sounds like all stuff that I need to be doing.
Oh, good. And you're working so hard, and I know everybody doing this virtual stuff, we're all so new to all this. It's really a challenge. But you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for the call and for the support, and we look forward to your business membership when the time is right. So let me give you a couple of station updates. If you are on Facebook today and you've already liked KMUN 91.9 Coast Community Radio, I'm going to put a post up of a birthday present that the station just got. So posting this post now, there's some pictures, and it's of something that we did for the Tillicum House. And so I want you all to take a look. This is kind of a surprise. We haven't had volunteers in the building. Most of them did not know this was happening. But the Tillicum House is the house that Radio built. It was donated to the station in 1986 by Salvatore Sebastian Patti and family, and we continue to be grateful for that gift. And personally, I relish the opportunity to be a steward of this fine, fine 1890s Victorian building that we call home here at Coast Community Radio. Okay, don't want to keep this next caller waiting, but check our Facebook page and see the pictures. I think you're going to be impressed. Okay, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I just want to say how much I appreciate the programmers taking the effort in producing programs at home. It sort of feels like, oh, my old friends are checking in. And the opportunity in these at-home broadcasts to kind of get to know people on a different level. And keep it up. It's great.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an interesting process for us. I think a lot of the programmers that have engaged in this have gotten a kick out of it. Hopefully they're not enjoying recording at home too much, because we need them back here at the station once this thing ends, because we need them answering the phones, we need them reading the weather, and just being responsive like a good community radio station should be. So check KMUN's Facebook page and take a look at the birthday present that the house just got. I think you're going to be impressed. 503-325-0010. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. I'd love to hear more thoughts about how you're taking care of yourself and how you're taking care of your mental health during the COVID crisis. I want to speak to Lexi and Seaside's comment about meditation. I don't want to brag, but I used to meditate, you know, like 20 years ago. I was pretty into it. But since then, my practice has completely dropped off the cliff. And I don't know if I'm just claiming to be too busy with work, but I have found that it has been almost impossible to slow my mind down lately, to stop the thoughts, to stop the constant stream, and to stop the constant nagging feeling that there's something that I have to be doing right now, that as soon as I finish one thing, that I have to move on to the next, that I can't just take a breath, that I can't sit there and look at the birds at the bird feeder or close my eyes and see if I can turn off the talker or the inner dialogue. And so I sat on my back porch the other day, and I do believe I meditated for about 20 seconds. I was pretty proud of myself. Susie's on the phone. Hey, Susie. Susie, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell Graham, hello?
Go ahead, Susie.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Are you listening on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say, first off, I don't have Facebook or internet at my home. I can't produce a program from home. But I'd like you to tell us about that birthday present more, to describe it to folks like me. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know what you're talking about. I'd also like to thank you very, very much for all the work that goes into applying for the grant, the M.J. Murdoch Trust. That's a phenomenal gift to the station, and I know it took a lot of work and a lot of time to accomplish that. And also, my third question, when do we get to come back and be on the air, Graham?
Such a good question. Such a good question. I think soon. I've started formulating a plan for how we can be as cautious as the co-op is being, and to keep our volunteers and our staff safe, but also getting folks back on the radio live. I think we're getting close to where we can start threading some folks back in, especially if they are in a low-risk category, if they've been doing a really good job quarantining themselves so far, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So to describe the birthday present, and I'll send an email with some pictures out today as well, but underneath our crappy, stained, thin, garbage carpet lay 125-year-old original vertical grain tongue and groove fir floors. And so the lobby and the stairs had the carpet pulled up by myself and Todd Leopold. I think together we pulled out about 20,000 staples each. No, Todd did most of them. And then J&J Hardwoods, the finest floor finishers in town that I know of, came through and put on three coats of a Swedish lacquer product onto our original fir floors. And so our lobby and our stairs are beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
And the stinky allergenic carpet is gone.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was only the entryway, you know. I didn't realize it was the entire lobby.
Well, I think the entryway, the foyer as we call it, was originally porch. And so only in the lobby is where the vertical grain fir is.
Uh-huh. Well, that is awesome, and I'm so proud of you guys for working double hard on such a project. That's huge.
Well, we were wondering when we could get it done because we have to go essentially empty for 4 days while those fumes clear out.
Of course.
And so this was the opportunity, and so we took it.
Well, we're so respectful of everyone who puts their salt into this radio station, and I'd like to say a shout out to Helen Patty for everything she had gifted in the very beginning, the Salvatore Patty Foundation, whatever you want to call it. I think we need to go back to our roots and let's interview her. Let's talk to her sometime.
That's a great idea.
Thank you so much, Graham, for all the work, and I can't wait till we can get back on the air again. All
I know.
Of us. We
I've
miss
been thinking
other.
About you. You're one of the people I miss the most, Susie.
Well, I have so many ideas, and I love all the programs I've heard, and I want to tell you that there's been some very interesting new stuff we would have never found out about without this COVID interruption. So I can't list them here right now, but I am a chronic listener, I guess you could say, and I've heard so much. So thank you so much for keeping our station alive.
Oh, you're welcome, Susie.
Thank you.
Bye. So Susie brought up the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. That was essentially the cornerstone funding for the Radio for Good project, which is a 3-year plan to overhaul and replace all of our broadcast equipment, as well as make facilities, upgrades, maintenance, and even expand some services. And so we've gotten significant grants from Oregon Cultural Trust, Oregon Community Foundation, the Templin Foundation in Pacific County, and now the M.J. Murdoch Trust, essentially doubling all of the money that community members and the other foundations gave. And so Radio for Good fundraising is at a total of around $250,000 at this point. We've replaced our main transmitter on Megler Mountain. We've replaced the air room console. We did a prune and preserve on some dangerous trees on our campus here at the Tillicum House. We repaired some downspouts, and so not all of it is glamorous radio gear like the console, but some of it really needed to be done. And so one of the other birthday presents that I'm excited to share is that you can anticipate a new coastradio.org soon. That's right, we are completely overhauling our website as well to bring you a much better experience, to make our local news more accessible, to make the community calendar better. So much is going to improve with the new website, and so I look forward to sharing that with you as well. We've got a caller who's been very patiently waiting on the air. Hi, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, hello. Is this this a party I'm talking to?
You're the
Charlie?
Man. Yeah, hey, Charlie.
Hey, hi. Thank you for having me on. Say, I just want to say how grateful I am to be here in Astoria. I'm a new resident as of last summer. And I'm so impressed by K-Mung's efforts and the way it's woven into the culture and the story, and I feel a lot of gratitude for being here, and I'm a frequent listener and a member, and I am enjoying some of the reruns as I have no experience hearing them, and I'd especially like to call out Donna's interview of Kim Safford. To me, it was new and very relevant right now, and really appreciating the poetry and the Robert McClusker, I guess that's his name. He's such a good ranter. He challenges all of us former Portlanders from his ranting acumen, I suppose I would say. So anyway, thank you so much, and appreciate your efforts and your belief in your station and really in your community.
Well, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah.
That's
what I have to say.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for the call.
Okay, you betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org. You can listen to us on a mobile device using the TuneIn app. Thanks to everyone who called. Again, thanks to our public servants who are working so hard. I know of one in particular that probably spends about 12 hours a day on meetings, phone calls, Zoom stuff, emails, Facebook, answering everyone's questions as quickly as she can. And joy of all joys, since we've already creeped into headline news, we've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. That sounded like a phone hanging up. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, a quick one. If the woman is still listening about Gymrie's, I read somewhere that Pete Gymrie is at the store 3 hours a week, and perhaps if she called the store, she could find out how to get those shoes that she wants.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a way, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think if she called the store, she'd get some information. Yeah, that's all I have to say. I love you guys.
Great. Love you, too. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's my great pleasure to do this radio show with you every week, and we look forward to having John Stevenson back in the chair every once in a while as well. Stay tuned for some upcoming election coverage and more great programming. I do want to say one mea culpa. We dropped a communication ball this week, as is known to happen around here every once in a while, and Donna Quinn had lined up a very special guest to interview live this Wednesday, and we weren't able to have anyone operating the console because of the fumes, and so word did not get to Donna. So Donna, if you're listening, I deeply, deeply apologize. Her guest was going to be Dr. Robert Michael Pyle, author and poet and local extraordinaire, and it was to celebrate National Poetry Month. And so tune in next Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. for Talk of Our Towns with your host Donna Quinn interviewing Dr. Robert Michael Pyle. And again, my apologies to those two.